Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Fremantle Press podcast. I'm here with Rebecca Higgy, who is one of just three authors under the age of 35 shortlisted for the Fogarty Literary Award. She's in the running for a $20,000 cash prize plus a publishing contract with Fremantle Press. Rebecca is a writer who also fosters childhood literacy as the library officer at Guildford Primary, which is one of WA's oldest public schools. Formerly an academic at Curtin University and Brunel University in London, she has published research on satire, politics and play. Her creative works have appeared in publications such as Westerly, Stories of Perth and Australian Love Poems. And she's also a new mum, so you may hear her little boy in the background of this podcast. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you going?
Good. So tell me about your little boy. What's his name?
His name's Teodros, which is an Ethiopian name. My husband's Ethiopian, so we wanted to give him an Ethiopian name to honour his heritage. He's 5.5 months and he is a noisy little thing, so apologies to anyone who can hear him in the background.
And what a year you must be having. Your manuscript is called The History of Mischief.
Yes.
Which sounds really exciting. Tell me what it's about.
All right. The History of Mischief is about a 9-year-old girl called Jessie. She recently has lost her parent in a car accident and becomes the ward of her 20-year-old sister Kay. They move to Guildford to their grandmother's old house, and there they find a book hidden in the floorboards. The book is an apparent translation of a lost book that that kind of chronicles this magical power called mischief. It spans from the ancient world to the Victorian era, and throughout the actual novel, those histories are interspliced between Jessie and Kay trying to adapt to their new lives. Jessie's convinced they're real. Everything's real in it, she's convinced. And she starts to research it, going to libraries, and starts to do her own mischief around Guildford with a very, very cheerful, slightly odd boy she recruits from school called Theodore.
Wow.
Yeah.
So take me back to the beginning.
Yeah.
What inspired you to write the manuscript?
Wow. Well, there are a lot of things because the first thing was probably when I turned 18. My parents changed their will so that I would become the legal guardians of my siblings if they died. That really got me thinking about what it would be like to be, 18, 19, 20, and to actually have to be responsible for my siblings as well as grieving my parents, dealing with their estate and all these things. So that's what inspired Jessie and Kay's situation, but I also tried to combine my love of books, my love of magic. I love the idea of a book being hidden in the floorboards, kind of really mysterious. And I also kind of included a lot of things that I have loved over the years. There's a history set in the Polish salt mines in the 13th century. My husband Yirga inspired a history set in Ethiopia and about the stolen bones or the stolen prince Alamayhu. So there are a lot of things. Also, of course, my love of Guildford. I kind of feel like it's a different world entirely. It's kind of like a time capsule, but in a place. So I had to set my book there.
So has it taken you a long time to write it?
Yes, it has taken me on and off 12 years. I have in that time done other things, I have to admit. I did my BA honours, I did my PhD, I worked as an academic, I did a postdoc in the UK, and I did get married and have a baby. So most of the book was written in the last 3 years, and that was because I decided I wanted to leave academia and focus on my book. And so I got a job as a library officer at Guildford Primary, which is very fortuitous because it's where my book is set. I saw the job advertised. I love kids. I love libraries. I applied for it. And it was wonderful working in the place where my book is set. On and off 12 years. It's been a long slog. Yeah, it's taken a long time.
And after that hard slog, how does it feel to have a 1 in 3 chance of winning the Fogarty Literary Award?
It's pretty amazing. I think after so long, I guess 12 years is a long time. I was 20 when I started thinking about this book. And I've kind of persisted with it because I loved the characters. I loved the story. It was something I wanted to read, even if I kept thinking, oh, no one's ever going to want to read this. No one's ever going to want to publish this, but I still have to keep writing. To be shortlisted has really given me reassurance that persistence is worthwhile. and maybe one day all these characters and worlds that I've crafted will one day go to print. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a joy.
Well, let's broadcast a small section of the history of Mischief.
Okay.
Do you want to start when you're ready?
Sure. The extract I'm going to read is actually the opening of the book, the first chapter, and it kind of introduces us to our protagonist, Jessie. There's an old lady outside vacuuming her driveway. I've seen old ladies do many things, like cooking, sitting in armchairs, and doing old people exercises. She looks like every other old lady, wrinkly but nice, like she'd sneak you lollies from the lolly jar, even if Mum and Dad said it wasn't allowed. But I've never seen an old lady do this. It's 3 a.m. She's across the road at number 61. She drags a round vacuum cleaner on wheels, like a Dalek from that show Kay used to like, only smaller and orange. She sucks up the sand in the cracks of her driveway as a fluffy white cat watches her from the veranda. It's loud, like how a plane sounds as it's taking off. I've been on 6 planes, so I know. I wonder why Kay hasn't woken up. Maybe she's ignoring it. Maybe the old lady does this a lot and the other adults on the street have decided to pretend it doesn't happen. Adults do that a lot. Maybe that I'm the only one who's ever seen her. She turns the vacuum off, takes out a pair of glasses from the pocket on her nightie and inspects her work. She turns it on again and shuffles back and forth, going over any spots she missed. Once she reaches the front door, she turns it off and pushes it inside. The cat flicks its tail and goes inside too. From the doorway, the old lady looks out at the street. She can't see me though. There's lace over the window so I can peek out without people seeing me. I smile at her just in case. She doesn't smile back. She just looks, as if she's waiting for someone, and then goes inside. The lights go off at number 61. The street is quiet again. I don't sleep much. Kay will be angry tomorrow if I'm tired. She's always angry these days. She used to be silly and fun. She used to tell stories about weird old ladies like the one from number 61. Now she goes to work and snaps at me and won't let me eat ice cream except on weekends, if I'm good. My name is Jessie and I'm 9 years old. I'm good at many things, like counting. I can count lots of things without losing where I'm up to. I counted all the names on the giant gravestone in the park. There are 298 on the stone spike in the middle, 102 on one side, 102 on the other, and 94 on the third side. They are men from Guildford who died in the war. On the fourth side, there's a sign that reads, "Their name liveth forevermore." Kay says it's a memorial, not a grave, but I don't believe they buried all those men in other places and put their gravestone here. I like to imagine where they are lying under my feet. I count out everyone, taking a big step so they have lots of room between them. There are too many to be buried under the gravestone itself. I have to go past the footpath and into the park to count all of them. Kay gets upset if I walk too far. She follows me, standing far away but close enough to see, and yells if I run away. She won't let me go to the park by myself. She says it's not safe because you need to cross 2 roads and train tracks. Also, there are strangers around, especially near Alfred's, which is a burger place that has a fire outside and ladies who yell numbers at the customers. But I like to go to the park. When it rains, I imagine the ground being eaten away, leaving all the coffins out in the open. Everyone walks past the grave like it isn't there, like all those men aren't there. Sometimes I worry I'm being rude by stepping on them. I say, "I'm sorry, Alan AM. I'm sorry, Alan GT. I use their names, so I hope they forgive me. I wish Mum and Dad had a gravestone, but Kay said they didn't want to be buried. I want a tomb for them like we saw in Europe, where people are buried in mini temples called tombs or mausoleums. Others are in marble coffins with angels, skeletons and Jesuses all around them. In Venice, there's a whole island graveyard. They have plastic lights on the graves that never go out and a huge stone lady in long robes. She looks down and has one hand on a coffin. I wasn't supposed to, but I took a photo of her. Mum said she looked like sorrow. I wanted to remember what sorrow looked like. I want something like that for Mum and Dad. I want everyone to feel sorrow for them too."
Oh, thank you very much. I really love Jessie's voice. It's a beautiful, she's a real character.
She is a character, yes.
That was Rebecca Higgy reading from her manuscript, The History of Mischief, which is shortlisted for the Fogarty Literary Award. Rebecca is in the running to win a $20,000 cash prize and a publishing contract with Fremantle Press. If you'd like to meet Rebecca and to be the first to find out who actually wins the Fogarty Literary Award, please join us on Wednesday the 22nd of May. We'll be at the ECU Spiegel tent announcing who has won. Tickets are free and available from fremantlepress.com.au.